say hello and welcome, but somebody else will say a proper welcome in a minute, whether you're in the room or you're on Zoom. I've just been asked to do one notice. If you're taking part in the World Day of Prayer, please can you just stay back for a quick meeting with Pam. Now, please note, this is Pam Culpin and not Pam Poole. Okay? And also, gentlemen, a week Friday, you are most welcome. The World Day of Prayer is organised by women. It is no longer called the Women's World Day of Prayer. So please, come and share with us if you can. Anyway, over to you, Phil.
Very good morning, everybody, to those of you here. Got quite a full church downstairs this morning, which is lovely. And to those of you watching us at home, you're all very, very welcome. Psalm 147 starts with these words. Praise the Lord. It is good to sing praise to our God. It is pleasant and right to praise him. And then the psalm goes on in a similar sort of vein. It's one of the psalms that Timothy Dudley Smith took and turned into the hymn. And it's the first hymn we're going to sing this morning. Fill your hearts with joy and gladness. Sing and praise your God and mine. And then what we're going to do is, when we've sung the hymn, I'm going to ask you for ideas for things we can praise and thank God for this Sunday morning. I'm going to come to prayers of intercession later on in the service, but at the top of the service, things we can praise God for, things we can thank God for this Sunday morning. And I'm hoping the hymn will give us some ideas. So we're going to stand and sing this great hymn. Fill your hearts with joy and gladness. Sing and praise your God and mine. Right, if the music group would like to start getting into position here, Brian, if you want to take a rest for a few minutes, that's absolutely fine. And ideas, I've got my pen and I've got a piece of paper. So ideas from the hymn or ideas that you've thought of what we can praise God for this Sunday morning. Freedom, thank you, freedom. Sunshine. I had to smile when the hymn said wind and rain, because that's in the forecast for today, isn't it? Provisions, as it said in the hymn, and the hymn, of course, is what's said in the psalm. Jane. The Lord is always with us, no matter what we're going through. For waking up to the new day. His kindness. For the Lord's kindness. Stability. What do you mean by stability?
Stable.
Righto. Okay. Righto. Friendship. Thank you very much. Friendship and family, yeah, they go together, don't they? So I'll pop those. Yeah. Say it again.
Loyalty.
Loyalty, right. Loyalty, right. I'm going to have to put my glasses on now because I can't read what I've written down. Loyalty. Oh. Say it again.
Hospitals,
right. Hospitals, okay. Play, playing, yeah, play.
Jesus.
For Jesus, right. Right. Nature all around us. Goodness me. Right, that's a long enough list. I'm running out of paper. Right, let's come together and let us pray. Now, dear God, as the psalm said, we come to praise you. We come to worship you this Sunday morning. And we thank you that we have that freedom to be able to come together and join and say thank you. Thank you for your love, your kindness, your stability, that you are always with us no matter what happens. And we thank you for Jesus. Jesus who came to this world and showed us all about God's love. We thank you for all the good things we enjoy. The weather, the sunshine of the last few days, spring coming. We thank you for the seasons, each in their own order. We thank you for friendship, for family, for loyalty of others. We thank you for your loyalty, which, as we've said, will never leave us, never desert us. We thank you that we've been able to wake up to this new day, a day that you've laid out for us. We thank you for the health that we have, for hospitals and those who look after us at other times. We thank you for work. We thank you for play. We thank you for the wonder of your creation in the nature round about us. For all your love and provision to us, we give you thanks and we praise your glorious name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And we're going to continue that theme as the music group leaders in the song, King of Kings, Majesty, God of Heaven, living in me.
King of Kings, Majesty, God of strong to live up beginning and end. All within me holds at your throne. Your majesty, I can't bow. I lay my all before you now.
Please be seated. That was really good. That was great. Thank you, Music Group, for leading us in that. Good or great. Or I could have said, that really was cool. Or I could actually have said, my word, that really was wicked. And straight away, half the congregation are wondering what on earth I am talking about. Because cool and wicked are two words that have changed their meaning over the years, right? School dinners, I think it was a national campaign about 20 years ago, they ran a campaign, school dinners are cool, which to those of us of my generation was, school dinners are cold, right? But cool and wicked are two words that have changed over the years. We're looking at the fruits of the Spirit at the moment. Love is to come next week, but joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness. Gentleness is our next one there. Laura's going to talk about that a little bit later. But again, it's one of those words that has changed slightly. Let me show you a couple more. For example, the word nice. Now, you know what it means to be nice, don't you? You'll be surprised to know this, but nice originally had those meanings. If you were nice, it was stupid. You were ignorant. You were a bit foolish. Right? I'm going back hundreds of years, but that was what nice really used to mean. And similarly, silly meant again the opposite, because silly meant blessed, happy, fortunate. Words and meanings change, and we need to be up to them. I think the most famous one, and gentle, is a word that has changed. Now, if you think about it, gentle comes from gentleman and gentlewoman, and meaning genteel, genteel. Laura will say more about it in a little while. As I say, many words change. Mansion in the Bible is a word that changes. It says in John's Gospel, Jesus speaking, in the old King James Version of the Bible, it says, in my Father's house are many mansions. Now, we read the word mansion and we think of, Chatsworth in Derbyshire or Boughton House near here or some big stately home, Buckingham Palace. We read the word mansion and we think palace. But actually, when Tyndale translated the Bible, first of all, mansion simply meant dwelling place. And what Jesus was saying was, in my Father's house are many dwellings, many dwelling places, which is why the modern translations say, in my Father's house are many rooms. So what I'm saying is that words are very fluid, and the meaning of some words changes. But one thing that never changes is this, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And that is what the Bible says of itself in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. The same yesterday and today and forever. Laura.
I don't know how you remember the fruits of the Spirit, but I can remember learning a little chorus ditty years and years ago with all the fruits of the Spirit in. And because of that, I can recite the fruits of the Spirit as long as I've got the tune going through my head. Well, I came across an equivalent one. So I have challenged David, and he's risen to the challenge. And actually, what it says about the fruit of the Spirit is very relevant to what we're doing today and what we've done the other Sundays. If we had longer, I'd get you to learn the verses. But the chorus is quite simple, and I'd like you to try and learn the chorus, because that gives you all the fruits of the Spirit. It even gives you the Bible reference. Though those of you that know your Bible will know it should be 22 and 23, but we won't worry about that, we'll just do 22. So, the chorus goes like this. Right, let's just try that through. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Galatians 5:22. Right, let's do that once more, and then we'll go on with the verses. I'll put the verses in, but if you get a hang of where it's going, please join me. It'll be up on the screen as well. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Galatians 5:22. Now love is the first one. Love God first. The joy of the Lord makes you strong. With the peace of Christ in your heart every day, you'll be able to sing this song. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Galatians 5:22. Patience is a challenge, but you want it now. Be kind to everyone you meet. Goodness shows up in a world gone bad, so everyone repeats. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Galatians 5:22. God is faithful, so you be faithful. Be gentle when the going gets tough. Don't blow your cool as your self-control. Remember when you've had enough. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Galatians 5:22.
Very, very good. Thank you. Now, I hope that helps you to remember them.
It's time to split now at 10 to 11. So let's just pray for the youngsters as they go out. Dear Lord, thank you that we can all gather together this morning and now split to go our separate ways. Help us all to learn something new and exciting of you that will encourage us, inspire us, and challenge us for the week that lies ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, when Laura and I put the hymns together, we always try to have hymns that go with the theme of the service. The next three hymns all have the word gentle or gentleness in them. Another thing we like to do is to introduce new hymns here. This is a hymn which we don't think we've had before here in church. Brian's kind of learnt the melody, and I think it's become your new favourite melody this week, hasn't it? Yeah, it's a lovely, lovely melody. It's a hymn by a lady called Estelle White, who was at one time a Catholic nun, and she's wrote the words and the music. It's got good words, and it's got a beautiful melody. I'm going to ask Brian to play it all the way through, and then we will stand to sing. You'll agree those are beautiful words and a lovely, lovely melody. We're going to come now to our prayers of intercession. There's a great deal going on in the world. You don't need me to tell you that. And we need to pray for things in the world, in the country, in our church, in our town, in our church, and in ourselves. So let's come together and let's pray. Dear God, we see the television news, we hear the radio, we look at the newspapers, and our hearts are saddened by all that is going on in the world. How much more must it sadden you? For it is your world. You created it out of love and it was perfect. And yet we do things that really we shouldn't. Dear God, our abiding prayer is for peace. We pray for peace in the Middle East. We pray for the remaining hostages that they might be released. We pray that the ceasefire would hold and the fighting wouldn't start again. And we pray for a lasting resolution to the conflicts and the upsets. We pray for the situation in Ukraine. Yes, Lord, we long for peace. We want it to be a just and lasting peace. You said, blessed are the peacemakers. So we pray for statesmen and women all over the world that they would seek ways of justice and of peace. We pray for Donald Trump as President of the United States. We think of our Prime Minister, Keir Starmer, as he goes to meet him on Thursday. We pray that they might have a really good, positive and truthful discussion. We pray for other parts of the world where there's fighting or famine or where the weather isn't doing what we'd expect it to do. Dear God, help us to look after this wonderful world that you have given us. We pray for our own country. We thank you for the freedom that we do enjoy. But we pray for some things like the cost of living, spiralling. We pray for knife crime and for the drug culture. And how we would pray that ways would be found to stop this. We pray for the church. We pray for the Roman Catholic Church this morning and for the Pope. We pray for the Church of England as they look to appoint a new Archbishop of Canterbury. But the right person, your choice, would be found. We pray for the Baptist Union, for Lynn Green as our General Secretary and for Lisa Carey as Senior Regional Minister. And for the church here, for Nick in his studies, as our pastor in his studies at Regents. And we look forward to his ordination later on in the year. We pray for the deacons and all the decisions that need to be made. And Lord, we want it to be your church. We want this church to be a powerful witness in this community of Desborough and Rothwell. We thank you for the town. We pray for the schools as they restart tomorrow after their week's break. We thank you for the GPs, for the doctors, for the pharmacy, for all the other shops round about. We hear that the Lawrence site has been sold. And we pray, Lord, for that site, that something might be done, but it might be developed. And Lord, we pray for ourselves. You love us. You've called us. We are your people, your disciples. May we be your witnesses in the world. So enable us, empower us to go out into the world. To those we meet, that whatever we are doing during the week, we might show something of your love, care, concern, gentleness into all our situations. We pray these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Our next hymn is the hymn, Spirit of God, unseen as the wind, gentle as is the dove.
Thank you.
from Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other.
So, the eighth quality today, gentleness. And you can say being gentle. And you will hear me using the words gentleness and gentle throughout the sermon. As Phil mentioned, it's changed its meaning. We've had quite a bit of fun trying to find hymns and songs with the words gentle in. So I wonder what gentle or gentleness means to you. I mean, does the following cause you to wince or cringe or go, ah? In the bleak midwinter, teach, O teach us, holy child, by thy face so meek and mild, teach us to resemble thee in thy sweet humility. Meekness, mildness, gentleness, they are linked. So what's your reaction? A little bit old-fashioned, or isn't that sweet? Okay, let's try another one. You ready? By Charles Wesley. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look upon a little child. Pity my simplicity, suffer me to come to thee. If you weren't cringing by the beginning, you'll be cringing by the end, because suffer is another word that has changed its meaning drastically. Gentleness and gentle are not words that I often use, but I do use them occasionally, mainly in the expression, be gentle, often said in the direction of a three-year-old. Be gentle when you close that door. Take care, don't push too hard. How many of you have said that phrase, be gentle, especially to a little one? Quite a few of you are nodding. But if I describe somebody as gentle or having gentleness, it can give the idea that they are rather weak. Since Nick has referred to the Greek root for words, I thought I'd better do so too. So here you are. There's the Greek. Now, being a mathematician, in my past, most of you should recognise that first symbol. If I talk about circles and the pi, say you know some Greek. It's the letter P. And that starts with P. And it's actually proutes. Okay, but there's your letter pi coming in. Your next one along is rho, in case you're interested, but you should know the third one actually as well. Anyway. So, that equals gentleness. Or if you look up the Galatians passage, you will see the translations appearing, especially if you look in the Amplified version of the Bible, meekness or humility, all meaning the same thing. Now, when I was looking up for the Greek word, I came across an interesting title on the internet, which said, proutes, does Jesus want wimps? Now, does gentleness in the list of the qualities of the Spirit imply we should be wimps? I'm glad some of you are already shaking your heads, because the answer is definitely not. We are not meant to be cringing, wishy-washy, or doormats, or any of those things. Definitely not. And in case you're interested, that proud-tased as Jesus want wimps, they said no. And if you're even interested, it's from a thing called the Ezra Project, which gives people a Greek word every day if they want. So there you are. But our model of gentleness or humility is Jesus. And there is no way you can call Jesus a wimp. He certainly wasn't. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." He is our model. He is our pattern. Now, just this little sideline, because I found this fascinating. It may help some of you in reading the Bible. I could have actually put in that, "I am humble and humble," because humble can mean gentle, right? There are two things going on here. Here, gentle means meek, but this humble means lowly. And in the New Testament, humility or humble are translated from two different roots. So when you read some bits, it means lowly. When you read other bits, it means meekness, gentleness. The gentleness actually means having the quality of having strength under control. Gentleness is the quality of having strength under control. I'll come back to that in a moment. That's what I was encouraging the three-year-old to do, to control his strength when shutting the door. Be gentle. It's the same sort of thing. Oh, I have got it on the slide. Sorry. Strength under control. There we are. We have to have a lion somewhere in the service. But that lion must be restraining its strength. Because I should think even lion cubs can be annoying at times. Clearly being gentle with a little cub. Control of strength in gentleness. Strength under control. The American clergyman and Bible teacher Warren Wiersbe, in his commentary, says that gentleness or meekness is the right use of power and authority under control. Another way of putting it. And he comments that the meek Christian does not throw his weight around or assert himself or herself. Just as wisdom is the right use of knowledge, so meekness or gentleness is the right use of authority and power. So gentleness, if you like, is a much more powerful word than we sometimes think. And we see this in Scripture. I've already missed one Scripture. Phil.
Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth.
Moses, the leader, was known to take matters into his own hands. But here, his humbleness made quite an impression. This one.
The king commanded Joab, Abishai, and Ittai, "Be gentle with the young man Absalom, for my sake."
Joab, Abishai, and Ittai were the army commanders. They were used to leading men, and they were used to taking matters into their own hands. Be gentle. Keep your power under control.
Say to daughter Zion, "See, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey."
Jesus deliberately took this way. He kept his power under control. That isn't the lowly side of humility. That is gentle there. So that is saying Jesus deliberately took this route. In the Message version of the Bible, Peterson put Galatians 5 this way.
But what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely.
Okay, so the last three are there. So faithfulness, loyal commitments, gentleness, not needing to force our way in life, and then the last one, self-control, which we'll come on to next week. But don't you see, it overlaps. Self-control, power under control. But all the fruit overlap. They have to, because they're all part of a whole thing. So gentleness, Peterson translates it as not needing to force our way in life. It's a controlling thing, again. There are two other references that I want which link gentleness with control of violence, harshness, and anger. Not needing to force our way in life, and thank you.
Now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money.
Don't forget, that is written to Timothy in the church where he was, and the overseers were men. I will stress that now. That cannot be taken out of context. The only thing I'd say is that actually applies to most of us. Yes? We shouldn't be violent. We should be gentle in our dealings with people. And then
a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger.
Gentleness is not doing nothing or being a wimp, but having strength under control. The philosopher Aristotle, and you'll forgive me going into a philosopher like that, but it was fascinating. He spoke of gentleness as being the middle ground between the extremes of being too quick to be angry and being too detached. So in the middle, you've got gentleness between those extremes. Gentleness is not the opposite to being angry. Gentleness is controlling that power and that strength. Between being bad-tempered and showing spineless incompetence, if you want, or else not reacting like a bull in the china shop, or however you want to phrase that one. Like sort of cross patch to doormat. Gentleness is in the middle. It's neither of those two.
Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other, and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity.
There's a lot of echoes there, aren't there? You've got another list of qualities. This time Paul's put them in a different way. And you've also got humility and gentleness. So that humility is the lowliness type. All right? But just three quick points. We cannot produce fruit, we cannot produce gentleness or any of the fruit without the work of the Holy Spirit. The starting point for the Holy Spirit to grow the fruit is that we accept we are sinners. We cannot save ourselves, and we put our faith in God's grace and mercy through the cross. That's the starting point. And then we become God's chosen people who he loves, which is wonderful. Dearly loved and forgiven, as Paul says. By keeping step with the Spirit, we will allow the fruit to grow. You never get an apple that suddenly appears on a tree. Fruit grows. Fruit isn't made by us. You don't make a model or something. It's not manufactured by us. You don't buy it with money. And it's certainly not an award. Fruit grows in our lives because God is at work in our lives. In the Colossians passage, Paul puts it, clothe yourselves. And that refers back to something he said a few verses before, where he talks about taking off your old self with its practices and putting on the new self, which is renewed in the knowledge and the image of the Creator. You sang about that earlier on, because you talked about in royal robes, I don't deserve. And there's a sense that we are being renewed. We are being recreated in God's image. And that's exciting, and that involves us keeping step with the Spirit. Keeping step in the Spirit, as Paul says, includes bearing with one another. Does anybody in this room irritate you? No, perhaps don't answer that. But you've got to bear with them. That's not their problem, that's your problem. You've got to love them. You've got to bear with them. You've got to forgive them if they've been particularly annoying. Yes? It's working it out with each other. Bear with one another, forgive, and put on love. Well, love's there. And at least it will be in a couple of weeks' time. But this is why the fruit overlap. You need love in it all. And you need a sense of humour as well, but that wasn't one of the fruit. Anyway, lastly, fruit is to be eaten and not simply admired. What happens if you leave an apple on the tree because you think it looks pretty? I don't need to say much, do I? Fruit has a practical purpose, and it should be used. The churches in Galatia, Paul had ministered, he'd gone on, and in came some very arrogant, aggressive Jewish Christians. They were certainly not showing gentleness, and they were certainly not showing some of the other fruit of the Spirit. They said, you've got to be circumcised if you believe. They also said, Paul, no, he's watering down the requirements of the Jewish law. In fact, they said, Paul isn't a true apostle. He's not a proper apostle. Don't listen to him. And this is the letter that Galatians was written to. The young churches, because they were young churches, were struggling with disagreements and division. And Paul, in the middle of that, wrote about the fruit of the Spirit, including gentleness. Gentleness is only evident as a quality when it is used. If you or somebody else is sat in an armchair, fast asleep, you haven't got a clue if they're gentle or not. Yes? It's only when you see them in action with other people can you tell if they are showing the fruit of the quality of gentleness. Gentleness is relevant in our day-to-day lives. Showing strength under control means that we can show love and respect to those around. There's no need to force our way through. We can build stronger relationships through gentleness, allowing us to communicate and resolve conflicts. And that is important. Thank you.
A gentle answer turns away wrath, but harsh words cause quarrels. Gentle words cause life and health. Griping brings discouragement.
Griping brings discouragement. So if you hear anybody griping in the most gentle way possible, not punch them, but exercise the fruit of the Spirit and the quality of gentleness. A smile helps a lot, I would suggest. And then...
But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behaviour in Christ may be ashamed of their slander.
Thank you, that's the last one. Warren Wiersbe again. People around us are starving for love, joy, peace, and all the other graces of the Spirit. When they find them in our lives, they know that we have something they lack. And I have heard stories of this, of people being challenged by meeting Christians and seeing the love and the joy and the peace and coming to Christ through that. And that's a challenge. And Warren Wiersbe puts, will you yield to him and let him work? And that is something each of us needs to answer, as to whether we're willing to yield to him, to let the Spirit work in our lives.
Okay. Thank you for that, Laura. So there we have it, gentleness. Gentleness is strength. I'll say it again. Gentleness is strength under control. If you remember nothing else this morning, hold on to that. We come to our final hymn, which in some books is described as the all-day hymn. Lord of all hopefulness, Lord of all joy, be with us at the break, the noon, the eve, and the end of the day. We'll stand to sing.
Thank you.
from Paul's letter to the Philippians come these words. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.